The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond. The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Keep tabs on screen time with the new Sky Broadband Buddy app.
Yep. We're back. I love that. Sarah's going, do you know they do Grand Flu? I said, did you not hear the top of the programme? What's wrong with you? In studio this morning are the writers we call the Ashlings, such as the phenomenal success of the character they created many years ago while recovering from a night out in their shared accommodation. And here we are, recovering from yet another night out together. It's Eimear McGlice and Sarah Breen. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
We were actually tucked up in the bed at 10 p.m. last night.
Lies going around. That
is no, there's no lie there because they have beds in the Stella Cinema.
They do.
Very so, comfortable.
You were tucked up there, quaffing cocktails at 10 o'clock. So yeah, you weren't telling a lie necessarily. Are you still wearing your
we're
wristband?
Still wearing your down
to we don't have the strength to pull them off.
As I was saying, has there ever been anything as incongruous as a Downton Abbey wristband?
They're both wearing Downton Abbey wristbands. Do you know what they look like? It looks like the band you wore when you were born in Hollow Street.
We've been reborn this morning.
Here we've been, reborn.
Please welcome born again Christians, Eimear McGlice. You're wearing Downton Abbey wristbands.
We didn't have the strength to rip them off this morning.
The shame.
You're such media creatures, aren't you? I mean, you know, I thought I was bad, but you're like...
Oh, we were lapping up the free drinks last night.
I'd say.
Loving it.
aren't those wristbands really hard to get
off? They are really hard to get off,
yeah. We've no strength this morning,
Did
Ryan.
You try pulling them?
It used to be Electric Picnic wristbands. Now it's Downton Abbey wristbands. How things have changed. We are 100 years old.
So you went to the film last night. It's getting kind of funny reviews, but we were saying this morning, we reckon it's the kind of film that on a Sunday afternoon, you just want to go...
Yeah.
It's extremely cozy.
Like, absolutely
cozy.
Nothing happens in it. But
it's
I still enjoyed it.
But nothing happens beautifully.
Oh,
this
yes.
Is it.
Oh, and the clothes and everything. And our nerves were at us yesterday and we just needed something really relaxing.
Yeah.
And we were like Downton.
Yeah. And how's Lady Mary? And she,
she's as great. Cold and brilliant as ever.
Yeah. As cold and brilliant
as ever. Yeah,
she's
nice. Yeah.
She's very... So today is Ashling Day.
Yeah.
I mean...
Self-proclaimed.
Yeah, it's a national event now.
Okay, let's think about this for a second. On O'Connell Street, where you'll be later on in Easton's, right? You across outside Easton's, you'll see Daniel Connell with bullet holes and bird droppings. You'll see further up Jim Larkin with the hands out going, I can't get a bus around here, whatever we say. Further up, Charles Stewart Parnell.
Yeah.
Now, let's imagine we place a statue of Ashling, right, between them all. What's she looking like? What's she wearing?
She's wearing her shumper.
Yeah. Which is...
She's wearing her what?
Her shumper.
It's a shirt-jumper hybrid.
So handy for
so
the, for
convenient.
Work.
So it's where your shirt is kind of sewn into your jumper.
It's really just the collar and the cuffs, isn't it? And the bit at the bottom.
Yeah.
What colour is it?
Oh, a pastel.
A muted. Very muted.
Okay. And then she'd have maybe like a sensible pencil skirt on the bottom.
Yeah, and definitely a pair of runners.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends where we have her. Do we have her walking to work?
If she's walking to work, she's wearing the runners. If she's in work, she's probably changed into the shoes that are under the desk.
The court shoes.
Yeah.
The court shoes. Now, if it's a modern statue... Would she have the battered old BT's bag in her hand?
She'd be lost without it.
With the other,
with the lunchbox or the pair of shoes.
Either a Brian Thomas bag or a bag from the Loop, from where she from where she did the 4 days in Malaga.
The quality of those bags is second to none. They'd last a lifetime.
David Attenborough's not a fan of them. Now, if she has the bag, right, and depending on which shoes, so she's wearing the court shoes, the runners are in the bag. She's wearing the runners, the court shoes are in the.
This
in
is
the,
it.
Okay, got it. You mentioned her lunch. Is it in Tupperware?
Oh, definitely.
Now, what? It's the seriousness with which we approach it. But we are building a statue. So what's in the lunchbox? What's in the Tupperware?
I would say a Slimbo. Which is a kind of a, no offence to Slimbo, it's kind of a grim sandwich.
It's like a bread substitute almost.
Make one for us. Yeah, like, no, in the air.
It's a kind of a roll, but a sad roll that's kind of...
It's very low in calories.
She's watching her figure. Ashling's always watching her figure. But so there's a Slimbo and it's in the Tupperware box.
What's in it? What's in the sandwich?
Oh, ham. Slices of ham.
Is there butter? Is it mayonnaise light?
Lolo.
Maybe Brady's ham if she's a Kildare girl.
She'd have to go
like
Brady's.
Myself.
Yes.
A bit of lettuce, too much.
Okay.
Nothing mad.
Does she treat herself at all? Is there popcorn or a sort of a
popcorn? Manhattan popcorn. Yeah. Maybe a yogurt. Controversial.
Would it be a yop?
It might be a yop. It could be a Grand Falou. Who knows? A Muller Light,
maybe
actually.
Maybe a packet of Velvet Crunch.
Yeah.
Great. That's the lunch sorted out.
Yeah.
How's her hair?
It's natural colour. She's never dyed it.
But she's hitting 30, so do we have greyness? Or?
No, not yet.
She doesn't have to worry about that just yet.
No, she's not worrying about that just yet.
Okay, and is it ponytailed up or is it bouncing
on her shoulder? It'd be a sensible low ponytail.
Yeah.
Nothing fancy.
Yeah, now if she was going out somewhere, she might give it an LGHD curl.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Okay. And you see that bounce for the special occasion.
Yeah, it won't last, though, poor Ashley.
is that bounce gone by midnight or is it gone
definitely,
by the next day?
Long gone. Her hair will be limp by midnight.
Okay. We're painting this glorious picture. Can I ask you about her makeup? Is it well applied or is it fake tan or where are we on
that? It's minimal.
She goes au naturel a lot, doesn't she?
She does. She wouldn't be into the fake tan now.
Oh God, no. It smells like biscuits. She wouldn't be. No, there's too much potential for things to go wrong with fake tan.
Yes.
And maybe a little bit, I don't know, she's just not really into it. She's envious of people who can apply it properly, but she's never been one of those people.
Okay. And then
I'm just describing myself here.
Well, there's a lot about, we could get into that.
Listen, we can't throw stones.
No, indeed. Not in this studio, anyway. And when she goes home, I would often think of people who go home for the weekend.
Down home,
from Dublin. She goes... I often think of Maeve Binchy's Lilac Bus, you know, that sense that, you know, the adventures of people and you might meet strangers on the same, but obviously times have changed now. So how's Aisling getting around in terms of going home? Are we training, busing, getting a lift? Is it carpool? Where is she at?
Aisling is more than likely driving the Micra down home.
Extremely sensible Japanese
extremely
car.
Extremely sensible. Back in the day, she probably would have taken maybe a JJ Kavanagh's or the equivalent.
Of course.
That was kind of when we came up with the idea for Aisling. I was travelling up and down home every weekend on JJ Kavanagh's Rapid Express.
Yeah.
And that was where we saw a lot of Aislings.
Yeah. And I was going up and down the N7 in the Micra. Still at that.
But it's funny, when I mentioned David Attenborough in passing as a joke, you guys are kind of anthropological hunters. I mean, you're sitting on the bus going, here she is, the lesser spotted Aisling, wearing jeans of a certain type.
With a boot cut.
You see, straight away. Okay, so as you describe your creation, I'm feeling that Doctors Frankenstein are kind of taking the mickey out of the monster. In other words, how do you feel about this creation? You're kind of... You're a bit sniffy towards her.
Oh no, we love her.
Not at all.
No, you're
Aisling.
Like,
that's
you're like
the
mean
thing,
older
yeah.
sisters towards
no,
her.
No,
you are.
She is us.
She's not you. I can hear your tone. I can smell your tone.
Because we're such Aislings, I think we get away with being affectionately slaggy towards
her. I'm not buying.
Oh, you're gonna have to buy
Emer McGlaisen for 1 second. I think you know you're saying you're such Aislings now. You've outgrown the monster, and now the monster is. Is a source
Please stop
of
referring to Aisling as a monster.
No, but in terms of the Frankenstein analogy, that's all it is.
Yeah,
obviously, she's not a monster. She's
I would
our
say
friend.
It's actually the opposite. I'd say when we first started talking about Aisling, it was a bit more, us and her. Whereas now she's been very good to us. And we have now written so much about her. She's grown from just kind of a one-dimensional, you know, girl with the BT bag to a girl with a life and family and love.
That's a very fair defence of your stance on it. So let me suggest then that if you saw somebody be mean to Aisling, you would be like you would jump in front of her and say, "Don't you
absolutely. Take a bullet
alone.
For Aisling?"
That's
wouldn't
what
we?
I'm thinking.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, absolutely.
Okay, you've brought me around on a coin. That was quick.
Sold.
So, there's a great line and a great sense in your books, all three of them, of this thing. They're so distinctly Irish, and tapping into a type of Irishness, and not just these aren't books for women, by the way, they're for all of us.
Yeah.
Because the humour is gender blind.
Yeah.
But with this in mind, you have this sense, like, which I love, is about notions. This Irish word, it's not an Irish word, but it's a word that belongs to us. We've appropriated it. Tell us about this sense, because I've been talking to a lot of people. Ard Lohanan was sitting where you are now, Emer, a few weeks ago, and he talked about life in the 80s. And he said, when his mother cooked lasagna, we weren't allowed to talk about it in case people thought we had notions. Right? So tell me about notions.
It's just a sense, it probably does come from somewhere maybe deep in the 80s or beyond, a sense that if anyone had anything that was a bit better than yours, then they had notions and they were to be distrusted.
Yes.
So even when I grew up, a neighbour who maybe had a second car before anyone else definitely had notions.
The glamour.
The second car.
Or
my husband is from Dublin and he recently suggested that having salami in a sandwich was like a school lunchbox staple. I was like, what? We didn't get salami in Carla.
I remember someone told me that they had hummus in their lunchbox in the early 90s.
And I think there was somebody in their box going, Like, there was no way you thought
it was
food.
I was in college when I first had hummus.
I can remember the day spaghetti bolognese came to Kildare.
On a chariot.
It was definitely the 90s.
Can I just say, I've never had hummus.
What? It's delicious. No lumps in hummus.
There's our notions now.
I've never had hummus or couscous.
But yeah, Aisling would have been very sensitive to people who have notions. And again, when we first came up with her 10 years ago, it would have been a big part of her kind of personality, would have been noticing people who were a bit above her station.
When you say she's sensitive to it, she spots it and says, your one's a bit and your man's a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's a flaw of hers that she can be a bit judgmental about people who have, you know, that she perceives to have notions or have ideas above their station. But sure, we all are sensitive to people who have notions.
you've got to keep, you know, it's called a wing clipping, isn't it? There's a bit of that. The Taoiseach invoked Aisling at one point not too long ago. John Boyne, the great Irish author, described her as the real voice of Ireland.
I know.
Why has she got this traction with us? What is Aisling, who I now feel is in the third chair here, in a really affectionate way? I kind of had this moment.
She's a big fan, Ryan.
Actually, I believe you're mentioned in this book.
Mentioned do you think I didn't go straight to that reference?
In the same sentence as the Pope, I believe.
Why are you laughing?
Oh, no, joke
Thank
there.
Thank you. I could sense that It's like when a character's so well sketched and drawn out. I bet you guys would love to meet her for a drink.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That'd be great. Wouldn't it?
She'd mind fantasy. Her handbags as well.
Yeah, she would.
Is that not a bit sad?
No, she's great crack, but then she will mind the handbags and she will text you when she gets home.
She's also minding her own handbag.
Always.
She may as well look after the other handbags at the same time. But
where are you going when she's minding the handbags? And why isn't she with you?
It depends if we're out.
If Aisling was out and a few of her friends were maybe smokers, disgusting habit Aisling has never imbibed, she would definitely mind the handbags. Or she just, even people mightn't be leaving the table where they're having the drinks, but her eyes are constantly making sure.
And is she doing it like, is she being Matt Talbot job? Like, is it the martyr and I'll look after the bag?
Everyone has a friend, I think, who minds the handbags on a night out.
The bag handler in some sense.
And who reminds everyone to have a glass of water between drinks.
She's just innately sensible.
Yeah. Is that mammy?
It's just sensible.
Maybe a bit, but not in a bad way.
When does she let loose? Where's the crack?
Oh, loads.
The dance floor in Cockers.
Well, what turns her on in an artistic sense? I'm not talking about the other.
The first few notes of C'est la vie.
That'll get her going. Any of the Galway girls.
So that's Ed's and the other one.
Caledonia. She loves a bit of that.
Yeah. She likes it with the kind of hand to the ear sort of. Let me tell you that I love you.
Yeah. This is it.
Being with the girls, having the crack, having a glass of Pinot Grigio on a Thursday night.
Doesn't even get the full.
She's not a square. I think, you know, there isn't really a misconception anymore, but like some people might think, oh, she's a bit of a square. She's not. She's
great crack.
Yeah.
Samantha in Dublin wants to know, what would Aisling have to say about children having sushi in their lunchboxes, because it's happening?
Well, we've already mentioned notions, and I think that is notions of the highest degree. That's not happening. I do not believe
it. It is happening.
Putting raw fish into an enclosed Tupperware is not something Aisling would be involved in, I don't think.
In the early noughties, the pasta aisle in a supermarket in Mullingar was called the ethnic food aisle.
Sounds about right.
Complete notions. All right. I absolutely love the Aisling books, as another text. They're so pleasantly readable. I loved the piss catcher shoes on the boys. I never look at men's shoes the same way. As we were talking about shoe and polishing earlier on, would you just explain to our listeners about this particular footwear?
This might be a type of footwear you might find on a man, particularly in the Midlands. It's brown. It kind of turns up a bit at the toe, which is how it earns its name, the piss catcher.
And what does he wear with them, Emer?
A pair of boot cut jeans.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
And a check shirt.
You'd call it a going out shoe.
A going out shoe. So, what about the brown shoe and the navy suit for fellas at weddings? Are we? That's quite a common.
It's all the rage now. I think it's actually the law. I was at a wedding
at the
weekend.
Law.
Yeah, it has to be
a
done.
Waistcoat ever so slightly too small. makes you feel a bit nervous looking at it. Like those buttons are going to go any second.
You're all over this. I love it. On my first visit, says a text to Donegal in 1968. I went to the local grocery and asked for yogurt. Try the chemist. '60s notions.
So yeah, we were saying it was in the 80s. Back in the 60s, those notions got up with the yogurt.
Richard's on to say, I'm splitting my sides on the Lewis listening to the two Ashlings. That's good. You know when somebody's listening, you see them on the
shortling away.
I like that. I'm always wanting to go up and say, what's so funny?
Yeah.
It happens a lot now when you might see somebody in a quiet office and somebody's roaring laughing with the headphones on. You're going, what is it? Yvonne, our colleague and friend Yvonne Killen, has been on to say, I'm weak listening to the girls on the radio. I have a cool pack in my lunch bag today to keep my Tupperware cold. I have never felt more seen.
Wow. A cool pack.
But
it's not even a Monday. Like, that's a very Monday lunch thing to be doing now, getting very organised on the Sunday night.
It's not even warm.
It's Thursday and she's got a cool pack.
Notions.
Yeah.
Maya Dunphy, another good friend of ours, says, I'm loving the girls this morning. Hashtag grandfaloo. Hashtag Ashling Day. You know the expression mad for road?
Yes.
Again, a quick definition of it being
mad to go out and goo on the lash.
For
road.
The goo is the correct. Another great one. Be fierce goo on me. You know that? You know it's going to be a long night then. Do the Germans get that when they're reading your book? Or is it really an expat
actually
thing?
Mad for road is one of the expressions that we that the translate. So our book has recently been translated into German, the first book, Oh My God, What a Complete Ashling, and we got an email last week from the German translator.
God love her.
She was like, I'm very sorry, but I have a few queries. Mad for road, what does this mean?
You say to her, well, you know how you feel after editing our book,
now you're mad for road.
What else had her bamboozled? So the concept of wearing a pair of O'Neills, which for Irish, particularly women of a certain age, is a pair of navy tracksuit bottoms. Yeah. So the German translator was like, what are you talking about?
I love it. The other thing is that, of course, at one point you had to replace Francis Brennan, featured in the previous book.
Yeah.
And you replaced him for the UK audience with...
I think, was that Philip Schofield?
Yes, it was. Yes. Philip Schofield.
We struggled with who to replace him with.
He has no equivalent.
No.
Internationally.
You're so right, Sarah. He's in a league of his own.
He's a hotelier with the sheets and the travelling.
So we went with Philip Schofield. We were just kind of like...
People love him.
Somebody mams like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. and every time he comes on the Late Late, people love him.
Yeah.
Oh, he's very lovable.
My mother, says a text, had a favourite saying about a woman in our town who wore very high heels and very red lipstick.
Oh, what's she up to?
The comment was... That one always had notions of her station.
Yeah.
I mean, that's in fairness, your mother was quoting a generation, arguably. Love the Ashling book, says Gemma, and how she never misses the hotel breakfast. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
That's really... I mean, the hotel breakfast stops at 10. You wake up generally in hotels after a night on the terrace at about 2 minutes past 10. So what are we doing now?
If you're Ashling.
Yeah, we're setting our alarms to go and get the hotel breakfast.
But Ashling must... She's been drinking water, so she's been sensible all night anyway.
Oh, she sometimes lets it slip at the end. I mean, she's not infallible.
Yeah, I mean, the water drinking might go on till about 11 and then she's on the dance floor. So
if she's at a wedding, there's going to be Jager bombs.
Yeah.
But she will not miss the hotel breakfast.
No.
And when she hears the opening bars...
Included in price, Ryan.
You paid for it.
What's wrong with you? You flahoolock fool. I was just thinking of the opening bars of Come On Eileen.
Oh, yeah.
That must do a job for her.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
sure. Look,
she'd have the flip-flops on at that stage.
Oh, she transfers the shoes. Gotcha.
Crucially, you never take off your shoes before the bride does. That's one of Ashling's rules.
Ashling has standards.
That is great. I mean, this is the etiquette of it all. It's intriguing. As 30 looms for her, she's written, she had this list of things that she wanted to achieve by that age, including her marriage to...
To John.
To, but well, actually,
Shane Filan.
Thank you.
Oh, yes.
Correct answer,
Prince
Sarah.
William.
Yeah, okay. So Shane Filan. So this gives us an idea of where she is pop culturally and all the rest of it. But she's chief bridesmaid to her best friend. This description of the bridesmaid trying to get this organised, this 10 party in Tenerife, right? The WhatsApp group. This is the language, again, of a generation. Talk to me about just the cluster... cuss, as the fantastic Mr. Fox would call it, of being the chief bridesmaid for a hen party with WhatsApp group and strangers. That is just a horrible cauldron of
it is, and
things.
Women have to deal with this every day, Ryan.
Yes, I know, that's what I'm trying to feel your pain.
Yeah, so you're bringing together all these different groups of people.
Sure.
So you've got your family members, you've got the mammies, you've got the mad friends and everyone, and you're putting them into the WhatsApp group, and you're trying to get the deposit for the accommodation out of them. So this is what Aisling is doing when she's organising Magella's Hen in the new book. It's a nightmare, isn't it, Eimear?
She has to set up the WhatsApp group. She has to confirm who's coming, who isn't coming. She has aunties, you know, who don't understand the concept of airports.
It's like they forget. Yeah. It's
and
so funny.
She has, as Sarah said, mad friends who just want to go on the lash.
Can I get my own room?
Yeah.
Extra bag?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the weather going to be like?
Can you make sure it's warm? You know, this kind of stuff. So,
and Aisling, you know, can handle anything.
Yeah.
But even this gets a bit too much for her. We find out she's not infallible when she has to deal with all these women. God love her.
God help her. Okay, text. It's so good to listen to the girls having lots of laughs from a proud Carlo woman. That's
yes.
a few minute mags. English vegetarian friend asked for a vegetarian burger in mayo in the 90s and got a pineapple ring in a bun. I love that. Mary was on to say, I was in an Australian airport last year reading what a complete, oh my God, what a complete. Aisling, when the lady beside me turned to say, I've been trying to work out what on earth is an Aisling. But now, you know, we've been discussing her at length for the statue that they're going to make for her. I asked for ice in a bar in the west of Ireland in the early 70s, and I was told, where do you think you are? The Savoy? A friend's mum in the 70s used to have to halved grapefruit with brown sugar and the shining cherry grilled as a starter. Notions. And Mary says, oh God, I just realised I'm a complete Aisling.
We get that a lot.
You must get
yeah,
that a
we
lot.
Get that
what
a
do
lot.
They do? They come up to you and say, I'm her.
Yeah.
And that's
I'm
okay.
And are they? Do you recognise the Aisling in them?
Yeah, well, everyone has a bit in them, definitely.
Absolutely.
And anyone who says they don't is lying.
they're in denial.
Yeah.
Okay, there's the last time we spoke, there was talk of a movie. That's still in the mix, I take it?
Yeah,
yeah. We're working on the screenplay to turn our first book, Oh My God, What a Complete Aisling, into a movie. We just did a draft a couple of weeks ago and sent it in, and we have another one due at the end of October.
Yeah, and then they're getting really serious about it, and they're talking about directors, and they're talking
Great.
About maybe filming next year, and
casting.
It's all very exciting.
Yeah. So, do you know what? You deserve it all, because you just came up with this wonderful characters and creature, but character, and from the crack we were having this morning, you can tell that people are just have warmed to her too. So it's great. So well done, congratulations. What's happening today? You've got a big thing in Easton's on Collins Street today. The first 50 real Aislings will get what?
They'll get a copy of the book.
Yeah.
Actually, they'll get all three books.
Yeah.
This is the third book in the series, obviously. They'll get an Aisling tote bag. I think they're going to get the very special Aisling scented candle.
What is it? Is it like a scented candle?
It's the scent of the sea, I believe.
We've already had several people this morning. So people who pre-ordered the book from Easton's got this fancy scented candle. And I would say at least a handful of people have already been in touch to say they will never be lighting it. It's like the millennium candle. It will sit on the mantelpiece and never be lit.
Okay, but you have to have a photo ID if you...
To prove that your name is Aisling.
But we'll accept any spelling variation.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. So if your name is Aisling and you're just get to Easton's today between 12 and one, meet Eimear and Sarah, get the book, but more importantly, don't mind the book, get the candle.
Yes.
Get the scent.
Get your free candle.
Somebody wants to know, what would happen if Aisling met Ross O'Carroll Kelly and Coppers?
Oh,
well, I think Ross would fancy her.
Yeah, I think
Ooh.
He would too.
Yeah,
she's a beguiling woman.
She
is.
She really is, isn't she?
What would happen? I'd like to think sparks would fly.
Now, rugby wouldn't necessarily be Aisling's sport of choice.
He could talk around.
She's a proud country woman, so she's seen the matches. But yeah, he could definitely talk around.
You're living the dream.
He could talk anyone around.
You guys are living the dream. I love it. Thank you so much for coming to see us this morning.
Thanks for having
us. I really enjoyed our conversation. Once, twice, three times in Aisling. It's her party, and she'll cry if she wants to, from Eimear McGlaisett and Sarah Breen. Wonderful stuff. And as I say, if you want to get along to Easton's on O'Connell Street today at 12 o'clock, you can meet the gang themselves and get your book signed. So onwards and upwards, continued success.
Thank you.
It's going to be a long day for you guys. Yes, sir.